You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Dog Pound, tune in to the Cleveland Browns Mike Pettine Show tonight at 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 850, hosted by myself and Ken Carman. We'll be at Third String out in Lakewood in the Cleveland area for a live remote today, so come on out and join us. John Hughes, the Browns defensive lineman, will be on site with us there tonight. 216-578-0850, that's the way to call us up. But now it's time to go to the Ohio Business Machine Hotline and bring in one of our favorites, Adam Kaplan, ESPN NFL Insider. Adam, welcome to the show.
Guys, good to talk to you.
Great to talk to you. We'll start with the big news out of Berea this week. Obviously, Johnny Manziel being named the starter for the rest of the season. Your reaction to that news?
Well, I was asked on SportsCenter back in early October, you know, what were we seeing here? And I thought that the reasonable expectation was that Manziel would take over around Thanksgiving. And the reason was this. I didn't think the Browns were going to be a very good football team. I had them at 6-10. You know, although Josh McCown did nothing to lose the job, quite frankly, other than get hurt, I think it's time. I mean, I think, you know, talking to people about the situation, pretty much everyone in the building thought they understood the move, number one. It's just time. I mean, when you have the NFL's worst record, I know you'd like to, you'd like to win the rest of your games and just finish out well, but the Browns weren't mathematically eliminated, but the chances were so slim. You had the bye also is the perfect week to do this. Get Johnny's, you know, I know they'll give him really what they want him to do when he's away. But the fact of the matter is, just time. I was absolutely not surprised. I expected it, and I know Josh McCown will handle it the way that a professional will and should. But I think going forward, when you look at their schedule, it's certainly daunting. The Ravens, although their defense is beat up, you got to play the Bengals, the Niners. The nice thing, though, it's really interesting. The Browns' schedule, they have three home games in a row after the bye, and I think that'll help Johnny get acclimated.
Adam, do you believe that, as you've mentioned, the record and the timing now is right to give Johnny his opportunity to start for this football team, but also, and Nathan pointed this out, the carryover and fixing of the mistakes that we saw Thursday night against the Bengals were limited at best against the Steelers, even though it wasn't much of a football game.
Yeah, and I think when you look at the Browns situation, I think offensively, you go into the bye thing, you know, they've been a little bit better than most people expected, although the running game, the problem with the running game is simply they're behind in every game. They're not able to run as much as they'd like. I think the bye comes at a right time, and I think going forward defensively, you're hoping, and we see this with most teams. Teams generally get better after the bye, and this is a self-scouting week, as you know, Matt, from playing in the league, and this is a great week for Mike Pettine and Jim O'Neill to figure out why they can't tackle anyone consistently. It's just it's something I'll never understand is what's happened with the run defense the last two seasons with the Browns. I know it's a schematic thing, so things that they clearly can correct if they could kind of see it on tape, but I would expect the defense has got to be better going forward. And obviously with Johnny, it's how much he could learn during the bye, and he's been exposed now to the offense, the John DeFilippo offense, obviously this season. But I know their understanding is that, I know from a Brown standpoint, is that they believe that he's done a good job of working hard at it, and we'll just see kind of what happens with this team going forward.
Adam, when you talk about this team, what has been the biggest surprise and or disappointment for you with the Browns? I know you expect them to be 6-10. They're not quite on that pace, obviously. So what do you think has been the biggest surprise to you?
Yeah, I would say from the positives, I didn't know much about DeFilippo as an offensive mind. The way you learn about coaches is you talk to people who work with them, and everything I'd heard about him and his pedigree as a coach and the father being the former Villanova and Boston College athletic director. So you know he had a great background in sports. He played at James Madison. I was just trying to figure out kind of what kind of offense he'd run. And, you know, he was an OC at San Jose State for 2 years, but he was never an OC at the NFL level. And I think the offense is, in ways, a little bit surprising and ahead of schedule. I think positives are obvious. Travis Benjamin, I knew he could run, but his knee coming back from the ACL earlier in his career was never right. He's taken off this season. Other than the bad drop the previous week against Pittsburgh, his hands have been great. I think that's been a great story. And The biggest surprise, and clearly one of the biggest in the league, is the breakout of Gary Barnidge. I didn't see this at all. I don't think anyone did. It's been a great story, and a credit to him and how hard he worked. And I think, and I'm not surprised by the way Josh McCown played, because we saw some of this with the Bears in limited time. But being that he's been on eight teams, you wouldn't expect him to play at the level that he did, and he obviously set team records for that little streak he had of sub-400-yard games. It was phenomenal. So those would be the positives, and the disappointments clearly are our own defense. Obviously, Danny Shelton has not played as much as they'd like. That he was supposed to help stop the run. That hasn't happened. Where's the pass rush been? Barkevis Mingo is a guy that has really been a disappointment. And I would also say offensively, the offensive line, and talking to people around the league have watched the tape, clearly not playing to the level that most people expected it to. And I'm again, dumbfounded by that. I expect the offensive line to be dominant. It's been far from that.
And Adam, as you look at this, as Mike Pettine and his coaching staff, as you sit as an ESPN insider and you've got your ear to, you know, the streets both nationally, we only have it here in Berea, but what is the word around town about Mike Pettine being retained as the head coach of this football team? And if he's retained, is there going to be some turnover on that big disappointment on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, I think Mike's on the hot seat, and I'm a supporter of Mike's as a Philly guy. I'm hoping that he can make it here and, I mean, get things turned around. The regression in this football team on defense has been stunning, not expected. It's been a steady disappointment. The scheme they run a 34 is similar to what Rex Ryan is doing with the Bills. And it's just not – I mean, I think for Mike to come back, I think this is very fair for me to say. Something's going to have to happen on the defense. They're going to, I mean, you can't, you know, have a wholesale change on defense by cutting a lot of players. I mean, you could do some, but schematically in the offseason, if Mike's retained, they're going to have to have a hard sit down and figure this out, because this is clearly not acceptable. When you talk to people around the league, when they watch the tape and you look at Granny Starks, who was a good signing, Danny Shelton, Desmond Bryan had the shoulder injury earlier. But that he's not playing at the great level that most people expected. Mingo, as we talked about, Kruger has not been the pass rusher that they thought. And I know that Gibson had the mild high ankle sprain earlier. Dante Whitner and obviously Hayden with their concussions. I get that part of it, but every team has problems. I think Mike is trying his hardest. I hope he comes back. But the reality is he's on the hot seat. There's really no way to deny it. Guys, they have the worst record in the National Football League. Let's be real here.
Yes, talking with Adam Kaplan, ESPN NFL Insider here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Let me ask you, Adam, when you are talking to people around the league, do they believe, and it sounds like the answer to my question is yes, but that it's more of a scheme issue rather than a talent issue on defense? And really, when you look at large, at the Rex Ryan tree defenses around the NFL, they're not having much success. Has the league caught up with that scheme?
No, but, you know, it's interesting. The big, I think, criticism of the Rex Ryan defenses is he does have his D linemen drop into coverage. Some more, some less, depending on the year and the talent, the personnel that he has. I think in Cleveland, that's been something that people have told me when they watch the tape. And then it may be just schematics of how their front is lined up. Something has got to happen. This defense should be way better. I'm not saying it's a top five defense, but you saw some great things out of Pettine's defense last year. I think people struggle to quite put their finger on it, but the numbers don't lie. I mean, this is a defense that has been largely disappointing. And, yeah, you mentioned Buffalo. Buffalo's defense, I mean, they did a good job against the Jets, but the Buffalo defense has not played nearly to the level that Rex Ryan expected.
No. Adam, when you look at Alex Mack, we know that he has the power at the end of this year to opt out. And you know, a lot of people are talking about the struggles of this line and his struggles in particular. Do you expect right now, based on what you've seen from him on tape this year, that he'd be able to get more than $8 million a year on the open market and therefore for sure opt out? What do you think's happening with
Alex
Mack?
I'll be honest with you. I mean... It would be almost stunning if he stayed. I remember talking to people before the season started. They thought that he would opt out. I knew he had the opt out. People thought around the league that he would opt out. I have not heard anything different. It would be a surprise. Now, obviously, Cam Irving, if he opts out, would be his replacement. although Cam Irving has the positional versatility. But again, I think the thought around the league would be he'd opt out. Now, as far as how much he'd get, you know, we're only in November here, so it's we're not going to know. We're not going to really get an idea. But the thing is, once I usually get an idea of what these guys will be earning, probably mid to late February as we get closer to free agency. But he would obviously get a big number because, despite I don't think he's played at the usual level. In fact, I know that because I've talked to people watch his tape. I think that he's still a very good football player, one of the top five centers in the league. He'll still get a big dollar because it's not a position where you could find a lot of great players, and he's still a very good player.
All right, Adam, what is the national take, and maybe you've heard things that we are not privy to here, on what's going on with Dwayne Bowe and what's going on with Justin Gilbert?
All right, so I talked about this on ESPN 2 months or 6 weeks ago, and I'll just bring it up again. Dwayne, here's what happened. I was actually there with you guys in the first week of training camp on my way to the Hall of Fame. Remember, he suffered the hamstring injury. I don't think he showed up. In fact, I know he didn't. He was not in great physical shape when he got there. As far as, okay, you're going in, you're ready to do everything. He suffered the hamstring injury. I don't think overall the entire season was in great physical shape. And think about this. You look at the contract. I know that people around the league thought his tape was good, a lot better than people knew with the Chiefs. The Browns did their homework. They graded him. They liked him. They brought him in. He wasn't ready. He had the hamstring. He was never in good enough physical shape to get. Well, I didn't really know about it. It's sort of been underreported as far as the reasons. I don't know everything, but I do know this: if you practice well, you play. He clearly has not been good enough in practice.
And that certainly seems to be the case for Justin Gilbert as well, who has not been able to get on the field ahead of Johnson Batamosi, even at cornerback for the Browns. Matt asked you about the kind of general feeling about Mike Pettine. What's the national feeling right now about general manager Ray Farmer?
It's mixed. I think I think not that Ray needs defense. He was not brought in to be the general manager. He was third in personnel. The two guys above him were fired, and then Ray got put in a tough position. You know, basically less than 2 months before the draft, he had to make the calls. It was just not the way he should be doing things. But I understand the owner, Jimmy Haslam, felt that he had to do it. You know, remove the other two guys when he did, and that's his decision. But the timing could not have been worse. And you mentioned Justin Gilbert. I mean, I know this is someone that Mike Pettine really wanted because he wants the tall corner, and I get it. But the fact of the matter is, Justin Gilbert, as you mentioned, I mean, he was healthy and active last week in his second season. That's really a bad sign. Johnny Manziel, I mean, they're going to evaluate him. But Ray Farmer's first two first-round picks clearly have not panned out to this point. It's not a good sign, but the book has not been written on either player. We'll have to see. I think I would say with Ray, if you evaluate the job, and obviously the results are mixed. You know, we don't have an hour to go into exactly what's happened the last 2 years, unfortunately. But I'll just sum it up like this. I think being fair about it, I think the results have been mixed at best.
Absolutely. Adam, very much appreciate the time and the insight. You can follow him on Twitter at KaplanNFL. Adam Kaplan, ESPN NFL Insider. Thanks so much. Enjoy the weekend. And, of course, happy Thanksgiving, too, because I doubt we'll be so lucky to have you on the show again before Thanksgiving.
Guys, thanks.
All right. When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines again, 216-578-0850. We'll react to what we heard from Adam Kaplan. Some interesting stuff, certainly, to say the least. And we'll talk a little bit about what Matt and I think the top priorities and adjustments need to be made here over the final six games. It's Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.